Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey everyone. Oh, it's time to return to Winefabet Street. Today's letter of the day is W. Weissburgunder is the German name for Pinot Blanc. It is a white-berried mutation of Pinot Noir, which is part of the larger family of Burgundian vines. We had to do a little thinking outside the box again for this episode, since neither Debbie nor I could find an actual Weissburgunder. So Pinot Blanc was in our glass. If you like this episode and have missed any previous ones, be sure to go to winefabetstreet.com, where you can find all of our episodes as well as being able to sign up for future ones. And remember, Winefabet Street is always free. Sláinte! We are live on like multiple things right now. So, hey, welcome to Winefabet Street. So we, as if you're just joining, we are up to the letter W, but you know, it took us, what is this? 23, 22? I don't know.
XYZ. So
23 months, I should say. And now we're like, hey, 23 months.
Oh, you're right. Months.
I'm like, let's try to go live in more places because, you know, the both of us are so technologically savvy that we're ready for the challenge. We are ready to be live on YouTube, be live on Instagram, be live on Facebook. So not ready for it. But we are here today. So welcome to Winefabet Street. The letter of the day is W. And do you want to do our introductions first, or do we want Elmo to talk first? What do you want to do?
I think Elmo should. Elmo? And I like what you've done with the video, too.
Oh.
You added some.
I added some,
bling.
Some bling, right? Ooh. Clap, clap. Ooh. It's the letter of the day. Lots of confetti, huh?
Yeah.
I must have been in a good mood when I made that video. I don't know. So, anyway, I am Lori. I am your co-host, and I began writing the blog to help people become more familiar with our winery, Dracena Wines, which is a boutique winery in Paso Robles, California. Our wines have been consistently rated a 90-plus in Wine Enthusiast, and we have gained multiple medals, including gold and double gold in the San Francisco Chronicle. So if you're interested in Dracena Wines, please reach out to me at dracenawines.com. But our blog has taken a life onto its own and has won several awards, including the Malesime Blog Award, finalist for the Born Digital Awards, and the blog is rated in the top 15 influential wine bloggers in the U.S. by U.S. Wine Ratings. So I'm also the founder of the internationally recognized Cab Franc Day. And as always, I'm looking for something new, a new challenge. So I decided to start a podcast, and I have now officially graduated from the WSET Level 2 with distinction. And you can find me on all the social media channels at Exploring the Wine Glass, as well as exploringthewineglass.com. So, Deb, how about you?
Well, I don't know if I have that big of a rap sheet, but I'm Debbie G. Aquindo. I'm a certified specialist of wine and a wine location specialist in Port and Champagne. I write under HudsonValleyWineGoddess.com, and I'm chairperson for the Hudson Valley Wine and Spirits Competition. I am the author of Tapping the Hudson Valley, which is day trips and weekend itineraries visiting the Hudson Valley wine region and all the craft beverage producers there. And I'm also a partner in a restaurant in Stone Harbor called Kitchen 330, and that's where I'll be spending the next 3 months chained to the restaurant.
See, you have just as long as a rap sheet as I have.
I guess so.
All right, so as I said earlier, we are up to the letter W, and we are talking Weissburgunder. And, you know, sometimes, as we have said throughout the Wine for Bed Street series, sometimes we have to go a little bit outside the box. Sometimes we have to do a wee bit of cheating. I did hunt for an actual Weissburgunder. And
I did too. And when I was in Lodi, we went to a vineyard, and it's all German wines. And I'm writing an article on it now.
Oh.
All German wines. And there is Weissburgunder. And I asked the guy, "Did you bottle this on its own?" You know, because, and I told him all about Wine for Bed Street, but he didn't have any.
Oh.
So I was just kind of really bummed.
Yeah. So we had to do a little bit of cheating. So Weissburgunder is actually the German name for Pinot Blanc. So we got Pinot Blancs. So Deb, what did you get? What bottle did you get?
I got a Wilhelm Pinot Blanc from Alsace.
Oh, okay. All right. And
yeah.
I got a Becker Family Pinot Blanc. And
where's yours from?
Guess I should have known that, huh? I don't know. Well, it's German. It just says product of Germany.
So mine's from Alsace.
I don't know. Jeez. You know what? It is. I think it is from Alsace. I got to look through my little notes again. But I think that is where it is from. Yes. It is located in, I don't know how to say this word. Zweigen, which is actually in Pfalz. Pfalz.
Okay.
So, yes, which is right on the border of Alsace. So, yeah. Kind of close.
Can I pour now?
Since God, we can pour. We can pour. Although, this is like the first Monday in a long time that I actually had wine prior, you know, because I was at the wine tasting.
Cheating, you went to that wine tasting.
Yes, but I did not. It was mostly Italian wine. So, there we go. So, Slancha to the letter W.
Here.
Slancha.
Tonight.
Okay. All right. We'll hold off on that.
I'm going to have the better one this time.
We'll hold off on that for a little bit, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I have general characteristics. You have history, so you are up first.
I'm up first. Okay, so now whoever's watching me is going to be able to watch my notes here because that's what I do behind the scenes. Videos. Uh-oh, no, it's PowerPoint.
They're going to see me typing, too.
History. Start. All right. W for Weissburgunder. Okay, so it's actually pronounced Weissburgunder. Mm-hmm. It's known as Pinot Blanc and Klevener. Klevener.
So I'm going to interrupt right there because I had a Klevener today at the wine tasting in New York City, and it was pretty decent. I was pretty happy with it.
So Weissburgunder is the German version of Pinot Blanc. Weiss in German means white, and Burgunder indicates Pinot. So Weissburgunder means a white Pinot grape. And it is a mutation of the Grauer Burgunder, which is Pinot Gris, which is a mutation of Pinot Noir. So pretty much it's a mutation of Pinot. So here we have, it's a light-colored grape as opposed to the Pinot Gris. So you see how the Pinot Gris is a lot darker on the bottom, and the Pinot Blanc is just a much lighter grape. Mm-hmm. They're medium, dense berries that ripen mid to late season, and the berries are yellowish to green, thin skins. They're medium, dense berries. They ripen, like I said, late in the season, and they thrive in fertile and chalky soils. So I was kind of getting, in my research, conflicting reports on whether it's originated in Burgundy or Alsace.
Okay.
So I read up on both, but I decided I'm going with Janice Robinson because I follow her.
Janice is a pretty good person to go with.
What?
She's a pretty good person to go with.
Yeah, so I'm siding with her, and it originated in Burgundy. And it was found at the end of the 19th century as a white mutation of Pinot Gris. Now, in Burgundy, for many years, there was no distinction between Pinot Blanc and Chardonnay. So they actually probably thought it was Chardonnay, and then later found out that it was Pinot Blanc. So it's a relatively more full body, which led to the confusion. But Pinot Blanc is allowed on the label. If you buy a Bourguignon Blanc, it is Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc. So, and in Alsace, it's sometimes called Klevener, which is C-L-E-V-N-E-R, or Klevener, K-L-E-V-N-E-R. It's German's sixth most planted wine grape. It's full, rich wine from Baden Falls. From Baden and Falls is dedicated, is delicate with minerality due to the growing on the Nye and Moselle Saar Ruhr. Weissburgunder accounts for 6% of Austria's vineyards. It's also grown in Austria. Almond-like scent, and it has the ability to age. And they also do make a TBA, I can never pronounce this, Trockenberloss, which is a very sweet, sweet wine. Here we have in Italy, it's actually used in Franciacorta. So along with Satin and Chardonnay. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
We can get a Franciacorta and we should have savored together.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's all I have. I couldn't find a whole lot of dedicated, you know how some of the stuff we find on history and it's really full and, you know, somebody found it and the DNA, and there wasn't that much that I could find on the history of it. I found a lot of conflicting things, so I had to go with the wine people that I follow, that I know, and that are specialized in that.
Our last few ones have been a little more difficult to find some things. But you know what? That's kind of part of what I like about Wine for Bet Street, is we're finding things, we're talking about grape varieties that are not the Chardonnays of the world, that are not the, you know, the Merlots and that you're batted over the head with information about. So,
right.
Might not be easy, the easiest for the research, but it is pretty good for, learning stuff. But all right. So I have general characteristics of Weissburgunder. So Weissburgunder is the German name for Pinot Blanc. It is a white-berried mutation, like you said, of Pinot Noir, which is part of the larger family of Burgundian vines. The main characteristic you can expect from wines made from Weissburgunder, it is also known as Auxerrois, is its roundness of flavor on the border of the sweetness and a low acidic wine. So that may be why I'm not such a huge fan of this, because, you know, I'm an acid head.
Mm-hmm.
So Auxerrois is slightly fuller and even less acidic version of the Pinot Blanc, and that is what is planted in Alsace. In Alsace, Weissburgunder is often blended with Ossera for an everyday white wine, and that's what is known as the Klevner that you were talking about. And although Weissburgunder is common in Germany, it is really Austria that shows it the most love. The wine growing region, here we go, Neisse-Dürlisi, is situated on the eastern shores of a large shallow steppe lake, and it is prized for its ability to be susceptible to noble rot. In Italy, it is known as Pinot Bianco and can be found in a diversity of styles, including blending with Chardonnay for the sparkling wines, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, it is most well known in Oregon and for its plantings in the Bienniciato Vineyard in Santa Maria. This is, by the way, one of the most famous vineyards in the Santa Barbara County. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, if you can find wine from the Bienniciato Vineyard, buy it. It doesn't matter what it is. Just go and buy it, because the fruit is stellar. No matter what it is stellar. So you can, if you see that vineyard on a label, trust me, buy it. Okay? It is amazing, amazing fruit. So although a genetic mutation of Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc is structurally closer to Chardonnay. So it is often referred to as the poor man's Chardonnay, which is kind of a bit harsh, but with it does convey some of the grape and its characteristics. In the glass, you can expect fruity aromas of apple, citrus, melon, and floral characters. And it may be difficult to find as a single varietal, but if you do, you can expect it to be a medium-bodied with very strong floral characteristics, stone fruit, and a high minerality. Typically vinified in a tank, the wines vary in acidity, medium to dry or to dry. It's typically meant to be consumed quickly. It is not a wine to be stored. The wine's characteristics do definitely vary according to the region. In Alsace, France, it is often oaked. The Pinot Blanc from Alsace tends to be creamy with almond and hints of apple and spice. It can also be used for sparkling Cremant d'Alsace wines. In Burgundy, however, it also claims to be home of Pinot Blanc, though it is rarely grown there. So in that case, you're more often to find it in a sparkling form. In Italy, as you mentioned, Pinot Bianco from Italy is known to be very crisp and light. At times it is used in blending, and it forms the background for the Franciacorta sparkling wine. In Germany and Austria, it is known in the region. That is really where Weissburgunder comes from, white Burgundy. And the German wines are refreshingly light. In Austria, it is used, as you said, to make the Trockenbaren Ostli, which is better and easier to say TBA, which is a very sweet wine because the grapes aren't harvested until they are shriveled up and the sugars have concentrated, which is kind of similar to ice wines, even though Trocken means dry. That is what I have. I found quite a bit of characteristics, but yes, it was difficult. The history, I think, was a little slim there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'll tell you, though, the more I drink this, I mean, it is fuller bodied.
Okay.
Like a Chardonnay, I can see where there was confusion. As far as the flavor profile, I think they're totally two different wines, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, or mine is.
Yeah.
Mine is, it's like orangey. It's like really? Orange, orange peel peel. So mine is a 2016, and it is a Becker family. Like the little, I don't know if that's supposed to be a dog under the vine or a fox under the vine, but he's kind of cute. It weighs in at 12.5% alcohol, and it is a Quatis wine, dry wine. So it is, it's a rated wine, basically. I paid $17.99 for this, which I wish I didn't pay $17.99 for it. But it's not, I mean, it's not awful. It, you know, it's not a bad wine. The biggest thing that I think about this is it's a little off balance. It's like I'm getting hit with the orange peel, and then I'm getting hit with kind of like a hazelnut or some sort of nut. What are those big nuts? When you buy the blend of the nuts, you know, the big fat ones.
I know what you're talking about.
That's,
I can't think of the name.
Yeah. I don't know.
The show.
Yeah. But that's in the show notes. But that big fat thing that they shove in there when you buy the fancy mix of nuts.
I want to say a Brazil nut. But I don't think that's right.
No, I don't know. But it's along that line is what I'm getting. But the problem is that it's not like the wine should be, you know, multi-layered, but not zing, zing, you know, like it doesn't seem to be coming together. But yeah, it's weird. It's orange peel. So that's on the nose. It's on the palate, it's actually a little more fuller than I would have expected. I would say it's a medium palate, medium bodied wine. The finish is kind of probably medium plus, and it's very citrusy on the finish. So it's, you know, it's not so much orange anymore. Although orange, I guess, is orange citrus? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not, it doesn't have orange on the palate. It's more of a typical citrus, on the thing, like a lemon, a lime, that type of thing. So it's kind of, to me, discombobulated. Mm-hmm. But the more I'm sipping it, I guess my palate is getting used to it. So it's not so bad anymore. And I should take that back. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't what I was expecting. It was like in my face type thing. So,
I was expecting, I'll be honest, a little bit more acid.
Yes.
Than what is in the glass.
Yes. But this is more to me a Chardonnay level wine, than the other side of it. But that makes sense because it says that, you know, from the Alsace region, it tends to be creamy. They said almond, apple. So it definitely is more creamy than acidic. And Fals is right there. So, you know, it's right there by that Alsace region. And you are in Alsace, right? Your wine is actually from Alsace.
Yeah, mine is from Alsace also.
Right.
So mine is a Wilm Pinot Blanc from Alsace.
Okay.
Reserve. I paid $12.99 for it.
Okay. Better bargain than mine.
Yeah. I get citrus on the nose, but more grapefruit on the nose. Mm. Much more grape, you know, more citrusy grapefruit and white grapefruit, not pink grapefruit.
Okay.
I don't have any almond notes on it. It is medium bodied, definitely, and it, like creamy. It's I do get a lot of pineapple and citrus notes.
Okay.
That are blended with the creaminess. They don't. Well, here's the lack of acid because they don't like stick out. They're just kind of in the background.
Right.
It's not bad. I can actually see this with actually a lobster, but
So that's very Chardonnay-ish.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even think I have that in my food pairing thing. But now that I'm tasting it, I would pair it with the lobster. The notes that I pulled down. So this is a 2016. So it's, you know, 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It says the vintage was relatively mild winter, hot and sunny summer, and then cool autumn. 100% hand harvested, extended and soft pressing, 4 to 6 weeks controlled fermentation in stainless steel. So it didn't see any oak. It's matured on the lees, fine lees, for another 2 to 3 months. Elegant structure on palate, and I will say it is, you know, kind of elegant. It's, you know, it's creamy. It's, you know, I don't know if elegant is the word that I would use, but I can see where they say elegant.
Okay.
They say grapefruit and lemon notes. Fruity with a refreshing acidity. I get the acidity, but it's not out there. It's very subtle on the.
Right. This my acidity is there. I can taste it on my palate afterwards, but not again. It's just not in there. So my wine is a 2016 Becker Estate Pinot Blanc, and as I said, I paid $17.99 for it. Becker Estate is located in the Schwaigen, which is very far south of the Pfalz on the border of Alsace. The winery makes 12,000 cases total, and they are mostly known for their Pinot Noir. So that is the biggest bulk of their production. Fritz Becker Jr. is the seventh generation, and he took over from his father, Fritz Sr., in 2005, who in turn took over from his father in 1973. So the average vines are 20 years old, so not very old, considering how long these guys have been around. And they, 60% of their production is either Pinot Noir, Blanc, or Gris. The Becker Estate is a member of the VDP since 2000. So if you don't know what the VDP is, that is the Verban Dutcher Podicotswein Gutter. And I probably butchered that horribly. And that is the Association of the German Podicot Wine Estates. So it is an organization where most, although not all, of Germany's top wine producers are members. And it is much easier to say VDP. So its membership includes about 200 wine estates, and it was founded in 1910. So in order to be a VDP member, a wine estate must adhere to certain standards, which are slightly more stringent than those set down by the German wine law themselves. So they are, you have very strict German laws for wine production, and the VDP takes those wine laws and bumps it up even more so that, and then they regulate it themselves. And if you are a member of the VDP, they very much proudly put the logotype, which is a stylized eagle with a cluster of grapes, on their wine label. So similar to how Chianti Classico has the rooster, this is an eagle with a cluster of grapes. So you can focus in right away and know that it is part of the VDP. So as I said, it's basically on the nose. It's orange peel. It's got a moderate to long finish, but I'm not exactly that big of a fan of it. And now a word from our sponsor. Exploring the Wine Glass is brought to you by Dracena Wines. Dracena Wines is an artisan winery located in Paso Robles, California. They have been producing wine since 2013. Their first vintage began with one wine, their classic Cabernet Franc, which received a 91 in Wine Enthusiast. Since then, they have increased production, received several accolades, including double gold medals in the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, and consistent 90-plus ratings. In addition to their classic Cabernet Franc, they now produce a single vineyard, single clone reserve Cabernet Franc, and a rosé of Syrah. Although they've increased production every year, they continue to sell out each vintage. Find out more about Dracena Wines and their award-winning wines at DracenaWines.com, and let them help turn your moments into great memories. So I'm going to pop in here for a little bit. Basically, what happened was during our live stream, we had a tad bit of technical difficulty, of which we have no clue why it happened or how it happened or what to do to prevent it in the future. But Debbie disappeared. However, the screen kept moving. So I was able to see what her food pairings were, but we could not see her or hear her. So I was doing the best I can to describe what her screens were showing. All right, so it looks like her food pairings, that looks like it's a quiche to me. Oh, it is. It's a quiche Lorraine. So I can kind of see that going on. I can see that happening. A quiche Lorraine, the cheese in there pairing. She's moving on to broccoli rabe and pasta. She's talking my jam here with all of these. That is probably sole. That's some sort of fish, I guess. Lemon fish. I don't know. So just as I was saying, that's my jam, she went to some place I don't eat. And cheese plate. There you go. That is nice. She's got a cheese plate. It looks like a little feta, cream cheese. That looks like a cheddar cheese. Provolone, maybe? Definitely, you always have to have some cheese. And then she's got a tartiflette. I don't know what that is. All right. And then next, frittatas. So I can see frittatas. I can see that being very crisp with the egg, with the vegetables that are in there. And oh, asparagus and goat cheese tart. Absolutely. I can totally see that. And I have made that dish and can agree that that would go well. And that's kind of a good thing because asparagus isn't always the easiest food to pair with. And she's going into a farro salad. I have no idea what a farro salad is. And then lemon pepper chicken. Again, the lemon in there is going to go with this. All right, so Debbie has done the pairings. So while you were doing the slideshow or the computer was doing the slideshow, I was talking. Although there were a couple of things that I had no clue what the heck they were, like
that was a cheese, a potato and cheese.
Oh, potato and cheese. Okay. So anyway, we are up to fast facts. We are now up to the fast facts. So W is for Weisberger under, and we are up to fast facts. Number one, Pinot Noir is genetically irregular, and as a result, it will sometimes produce the white mutation known as Pinot Blanc. Okay, so I'm sorry, I had to put Deadpool in there. He is just my favorite character on the face of the earth. I love him. I bought Mike, complete sidebar, nothing to do with wine, but Mike and I love Deadpool. We'll watch it over and over again. So for Christmas, I was walking through the store finding stupid gifts, you know, to put under the tree. And there was a chia pet of Deadpool. So he got a chia pet Deadpool. Okay. Fact number two. Over 8,000 acres of Pinot Blanc have been planted in Germany. Most of it resulting wines are more intense than those of Alsace, Austria, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia, and Slovenia also make similar wines. Fact number three. With Oregon being so well known for Pinot Noir, you really can't be too surprised that it is also a main growing region for Pinot Blanc. And I am reaching out to the Oregon people from the Oregon tasting that we went to. That is going to be one of my blog posts about Oregon is the other Pinot. Because everybody talks about...
My blog post is...
No!
I'm actually doing the other side of it's not all about Pinot.
Oh, I was gonna say we should plan that to be live on the same day then.
Yeah, right now.
And fact number four, in California, plantings were showing promise until many plantings turned out to be a little known grape called Melon de Bourgogne, the main ingredient in Muscadet, which is not Muscat. And fact number 5, compared to Pinot Grigio and Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc is rounder and is typically less acidic. The fruit flavors of Pinot Grigio tend to be brighter, so generally oak is not used in the maturation process of Pinot Blanc. So those are my fast facts for Weissburgunder. So we had just a little technical difficulty.
Next month we're doing, now it's, hold on, I'm going to tell you when it is. 17th. Where are you going to be June 17th?
June 17th. No, I think I'm here.
Okay.
Yep, June 17th is good. I am still sadly still in school for another week and a half after that.
So, Monday, June 17th on, how do we pronounce this? Xmavaro.
I believe it's Zero Mava. I think it's Zero. So that is where we are. So
thank everybody for putting up with us tonight and our technical difficulties. This happens when shows go live.
Yeah.
So the people who are watching us on Instagram and my Facebook Live really got to see what behind the scenes is.
See us going, I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
I'm gonna run with it. Okay.
But we were troopers. We just kept pushing through. So I don't know. But anyways, so I guess
we're... Thanks, Karen and Michael, for stopping in. Sorry about our technical difficulties.
Right. And we're going to be seeing each other a couple of times in the near future, right?
Wednesday.
Is Wednesday the Rioja?
On the High Line. Wednesday on the High Line.
On the High Line. And then the following week? Or you're not coming in for that?
I'm not coming in. I have tickets to see Book of Mormon.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining on Wine for Bet Street. If you find a bottle of Weissburgunder, please shoot us an email. Let us know. I would really love to give that an actual try to compare it to a Pinot Blanc and see. Part of me thinks that maybe the reason why we couldn't find an actual Weissburgunder is because Americans don't like terms that they can't pronounce easily.
And there might not be a lot exported into the United States.
Right. But this is a Pinot Blanc. So, and yours is a Pinot Blanc. So I'm wondering if when it comes to the United States, if they just call it Pinot Blanc, as opposed to putting Weissburgunder on the label.
Rockenfrosch with Lemberger.
Right. So, I mean, I have no idea. That's just kind of maybe a thought process, because I went to several wine shops that have, you know, a large selection of wines and couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with it, because, you know, us Americans, we like to drink, but we like to make it easy to pick the bottle.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a thought anyway, that that might be why we can't find it. You know, how they have
technology.
Yeah, the different labels for the different countries.
Technology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All righty. So if you guys out there do find a bottle of Weissburgunder, definitely let us know. Let us know where you found it and let us know how you like it.
Right. Or, you know, just plain old Pinot Blanc. Let us know. And you can find me, so I now have the second brand, Exploring the Wine Glass. So please head over to Twitter, which is Explore without the E, Wine Glass. Of course, for some reason, Twitter wouldn't let me have that long of a thing. But on Instagram, Exploring the Wine Glass, on Facebook, Exploring the Wine Glass, and now exploringthewineglass.com. So please, help me out. Give me a follow. If you're following me on Dracena Wines, please click over to Exploring the Wine Glass and follow me there, because that is where all of this stuff is going to start showing up. So there we go.
And you can find me at HudsonValleyWineGoddess.com, and I'm HB Wine Goddess on Twitter, HB Wine Goddess on Instagram. Hudson Valley Wine Goddess on Facebook, HV Wine Goddess on YouTube.
There we go.
So have a wonderful week, everybody, and we'll catch you here next month, June 17th.
Sláinte.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. Until next week, sláinte.